You may be seated. I am so happy to be here. And Pastor Charles, Pastor Beatrice, I want to say thank you so much for giving me the honor to come and share a little bit of the word today with everyone. Amen. It's a joy to be here. The convention is rolling on. Amen. I am so glad. God has always done something unique and wonderful in every convention. And every convention has never been by the orchestration of man. It is a divine appointment that we get to experience. Like Anna having to go to Shiloh and meet with God, you have come to meet with God today. And it is my prayer that God this day shall move in your life mightily in Jesus' name. And somebody said, amen. Praise God. If you know the theme of our convention, would you declare it right now? One, two, go. Oh, yes. More than enough. More than enough. More than enough. More than enough. And Father, as I dive into your word, Lord, would you give revelation and insight and cause your name to be glorified? For in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I prayed and I sought the face of God as to what to share today. And you know how at times you hear God and you go, Lord, is this really what you want me to say? Because many times in of our flesh, we think that it's so simple and everyone should get it. But even in the simple things of life, there's always something unique that God has in store. So I want to ask of you to tune in to the frequency of the Holy Spirit and receive the revelation that he has for you today. And don't miss it. Don't miss what he has for you today. Today we're going to be talking about attaining more than enough. Having to attain more than enough. In the world that we are in today, there is a lot of turmoil, chaos that is going on all around. One of the things that I've come to find while driving through town is I see some shops and some known businesses are shutting down. I actually found a restaurant that it's well known. The last time I was there, people were booming in and out. And today when I drove by that same restaurant, I found it has become a shelter for homeless people. But the interesting thing is this, is that as I drove and I just began to ponder this, just a little bit down the street from that restaurant is somebody that is opening a brand new business. I mean, the construction is going on as we speak. The men are hard at work, putting the machinery into place. And keep driving. I began to discover people were building houses and facilities are being built. You know, at first you thought that the rents would be going down, but a lot of places are actually doing what? Increasing it. And Pastor was sharing the other day about people within the church, four people within the church that have become proud owners of their own home. Hallelujah, somebody. Before he shared the testimony, I had been watching the market. And people had been buying homes left and right. And then it dawned on me, what is it you really want to see? Because what you want to see is what you will eventually see. Do you want to see hope or do you want to see despair? Do you want to see possibilities or do you want to see difficulties? Do you want to see opportunities to showcase what God has made you into? Or do you just want an avenue to turn tail and run off? What is it that you are showcased to see today? More than ever, this message of more than enough is so important for us. And we must catch this revelation. and understand that we serve a God that does not move to bless his people by the situation and the circumstances of the times of life. He's not governed by that. And no matter the storms, no matter the wave, God is still God and he's still blessing his people. And somebody says a big amen to that. So we want to tap into the revelation of understanding how to attain more than enough. We want to talk about the principles of it. In the words of Mike Murdock, I stumbled upon this while I was meditating. He said this statement and it caught my heart. He said, Jesus, the person of Jesus creates your peace. But the principles of Jesus creates your prosperity. When you hold on to the person of Jesus, you have peace all over. But when you catch a good revelation and hold on to his principles, you are able to walk in the prosperity that he has for you. In other words, what he was trying to say is this, that when you hold on to Jesus and you have the good, full grasp of who Jesus is, you are assured of eternity. Bank, it's in there. You are secure. But how do you dominate earth? It's by understanding and walking according to his principles. And somebody says amen to that. And that is why this principle is very, very important. Even as it's simple as it may sound, may we grasp it. Would you open your Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 7? I want to read from verse 7 to 8. Matthew chapter 7 from verse 7 to 8. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. It will be opened. So to let the cat out of the bag, the principles we're going to be talking about today is the principles of asking, seeking, and knocking. And somebody said amen to that. Listen, don't belittle it. Because you see, for every painter, you need certain basic tools. A man that is to paint will always need his what? His canvas, his paintbrush, and then some paint. If you don't understand the power of a canvas and a paintbrush, and the paint, go check out masterpieces that have been done by professionals. And those that have not fully harnessed what those things can produce, you find them doodling. May I not doodle with the principles of God. Amen, somebody? So let's catch this revelation. Now, as we jump into this revelation, I must lay a foundation for you. And I must introduce you to somebody today that is very, very important before we jump into it. As I was about to meditate, the Holy Spirit said, stop. You must declare who I am to the people of God. You must let them know who is the author and the finisher of our faith. The one that has the more than enough in the grasp of his hand. Would you open your Bible to Colossians chapter 1? We want to read from verse 15. If you have it up on the screen, that will be great. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 18. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth. Can I say that to somebody? By God, everything in heaven and on earth was created. Both what is visible and what is invisible. Whether thrones or dominion or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Verse 17. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. In him is everything. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Oh, glory to God. That is the God that we serve. Look at verse 19 to 20. It says, for it pleases the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his, through the blood of his cross. Hallelujah, somebody. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord and its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Can somebody give a holy shout to the God Almighty? He is the true definition of more than enough. He is the one that out of him flows the issues of life. He is Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rophe. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He's more than enough. He's more than enough. You know, I love the song that Chris Tomlin put together. And I was searching and I saw a number of people writing songs about the more than enough of God. And he wrote this, and I just want to read the lyrics. The song is called Enough. It says, all of you is more than enough for me. For every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love. And all I have in you is more than enough. You are my supply, my breath of life, and still more awesome than I know. You are my reward, worth living for, and still more awesome than I know. For all of you is more than enough for me. For every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love. And all I have in you is more than enough. You're my sacrifice, my greatest price. And still more awesome than I know. You're my coming king, you're everything. And still more awesome than I know. More than enough. More than enough. Listen, I don't know how many of you are out there that are listening to the sound of my voice. But I believe for a purpose and for a reason at this time, God is allowing you to get to experience more of him. And to tap into the more than enough of God, you first have to connect with Jesus Christ. To not connect with him is to miss out on the all-sufficiency of God. Listen, you might be a prodigal son that is thinking about coming back. Listen, God is waiting with his arms open wide. Come to him this day, that you may experience the all-sufficiency of God. And I pray today, by the revelation of the word, you will gain deeper insights in Jesus' name. And everybody say, the more than enough of God. He's more than enough. As we jump into the principles, the first principle there is the principle of asking. To ask is a declaration by faith. To ask is to make declaration by faith. When Jesus was talking about asking, he was talking about having to seize the dominion of prayer, the domain of prayer. He was talking about having to tie your belt and jump into the realms of prayer and understand what prayer is truly all about. Do you know that in the 21st century, we've really messed up what prayer is? We've turned prayer to a psychedelical kind of conversation with God. We have relegated prayer to a 5-minute blessing of our food over the dinner table. You ask an average American, do you pray? And they say, yes. And when do you pray? When I'm driving to work. And I just say a quick word and just say, God, you know I'm here. Lord, keep me safe in Jesus' name. Amen. You ask an average student, when do you pray? You say, well, I prayed when there was about to be gunshots in the school. I knelt down and called on God. Many times we only know to pray when there are circumstances and situations in our life. And we have now made God into a fire truck. Jesus said, ask. Ask. And when he will give revelation about asking, in Luke 18, he gave a revelation about asking. When you look at the revelation about asking, it is nowhere near the way we pray today. It is nowhere near the way we ask God for things. In the same scripture of Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 that we just read, it is repeated again in the scriptures when Jesus talked about a friend in Luke chapter 11, verse 5 to 13. The friend that shows up by midnight. If you read that story carefully, after Jesus told that parable about the friend that comes to his friend's house and knocks on the door to make a request for him by night, Jesus ends up that parable by quoting exactly what we just read. Ask and it shall be given. In other words, when we talk about asking God, when we talk about praying, I want you to understand that it is not a gentle mutter of words. When you talk about prayer, we're talking about praying with an attitude, praying with your emotions, praying the way Anna prayed when she sought the face of God, a prayer that was focused. It wasn't distracted. She came to Shiloh for one purpose. She came to Shiloh to get the answer to her one request. She came not the first time, not the second. But every time they said it's time to go and pray, that request was on the forefront. She prayed to the extent that she was called a drunkard. Listen, you got to know a drunkard when you see one. In other words, it was not the way others were praying. There was something strange and different about her prayer. That the man of God had to put everyone aside and zero in on her prayer. It means her prayer must have got the attention of some people in the house. Hannah prayed and sought the face of God. We need to pray like that. We need to pray like our back is against the wall and there's no other way out. We need to pray like Jacob, having to wrestle with the angel and say, listen, unless you bless me, I will not let you go. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible tells us that be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Listen, I want to ask you this. How many times have you prayed and supplicated in the place of prayer? If you look at that scripture carefully, you understand it's almost like saying prayer twice. But it was redefined. When I tried to understand the meaning of the first word of prayer and I saw it, it's like the declaration, oratory, having to speak out. And the supplication, if you were to find it whether in the meaning of Greek or Hebrew, the word supplication will always mean supplication. And what does supplication mean? It means to go before God and beg for something earnestly or with humility. There is an attitude we are to have in the place of prayer. We're to be energized in the place of prayer. We're to see God in the place of prayer and pray. When Pastor was talking about Paul having to declare and receive the revelation of God about God's grace being more than enough. When God declared to him, my grace is sufficient for you. Listen, he got that revelation in the place of prayer. He didn't get that revelation while he was teaching, while he was going about tent making. He said, I had sought the Lord and poured out to him about the concerns of the thorns in the flesh. And in that place of prayer, he was able to get the revelation of the all-sufficiency of God. How many revelations have you missed, have you not received from God because you've really not gone into the place of prayer? Have we prayed the way we ought to pray? Or are we praying with other alternatives at the back of our mind? We need to pray with an attitude. We need to pray even if it has to bring about discomfort and the displacement of ourselves. We've got to pray. I was listening closely as Brother Babs was sharing his testimony. And if you listen to his testimony on Wednesday, for those that were not here, he shared about how he got into having to own his own place. And it first had to do with understanding that, listen, I want this. I desire this. But he could not see and conceive the possibility until he got into the place of prayer. And in the place of prayer, as he prayed, as he cried out to God, he said these words, and sweat came all over me. And at that point in time, I received my deliverance. It was at that point in time he was able to now conceive the fullness of what he's to do next. When God said we should come to him and ask, you don't know the revelations that God is about to release to you in that particular place of prayer. Would you tell somebody to your left and to your right, it's time to pray. I want to correct one other thing that a lot of people have misconstrued in Scripture. In Acts chapter 2, when Jesus asked the people, the disciples, the apostles, to go and pray, they did not pray gentle prayers. Amen, somebody. Can I show it to you real quick? Will you join me for a moment? Acts chapter 2. Praise the Lord, somebody. I love the prayer of the saints in Acts chapter 2. It is so powerful. Acts chapter 2. Says, now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a loud sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire. And one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. As the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. Now, what were they doing before that manifestation? Praise the Lord. They were what? Praying. If you go back to Acts chapter 1, reading from verse 24, the Bible says, and they prayed and said, you, O Lord, who knows the heart of all. They were praying. They were praying. In the choosing of leadership, they were praying. If you go further back, verse 14, and these all continued with one accord in prayer and what? Do you see it there again? The same prayer and supplication we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6. Prayer and supplication. They were all together praying and talking to God. Now look at this wonderful manifestation. Verse 4 tells us they were speaking in tongues and the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. Verse 5, now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Something is missing. Praise the Lord, somebody. Can you walk with me for a second? Give me your attention for a moment. Where were they praying? Where were they praying? They were praying in the upper room. Over 100 of them were praying in the upper room. That must be a tight room. Praise the Lord. For the multitudes to come and rush and see them. Did it happen in the upper room? For a multitude, and just so you know, the people that got saved on that day, not all the people that observed, just the ones that came out for the altar call, were only how many? 3,000, which means more than 3,000 came to witness what was happening. Do you think that occurrence happened in the upper room? Oh, somebody, I need you to catch this revelation. When they were praying and seeking the face of God and worshiping God on the day of Passover, when they were glorifying God and blessing His holy name, there was a move of God in the house that they could not contain it but to step out of the house. The outburst of the move of the Holy Ghost was so powerful that they stepped out of the house and went outside. It was then people were saying, what is the commotion going? And they came around to see what was happening in the house. It was then they asked, wait a second. This guy looks like a German, but yet he's speaking Creole. The tribes and the people that were just passing by, they could see that these people do not look like them. Listen, I want you to understand that the Holy Ghost is real. And I want to use this point to let you say, to let you understand this, that when the Holy Ghost begins to speak through a man, it is a conversation between the man and God. I want the church to understand this. That the declaration of tongues in the house was not an address to the church. That was not an address to the church. And somebody says, well, if you're going to speak in tongues, it's only when you're going to address the church, so you must provide interpretation. Who told you it was for the church in the first place? That's why when Paul would declare, Paul said, when a man speaks in tongues, it is a conversation between the man and who? And God. He didn't matter the language. It was a two-way communication. The only time interpretation is then needed is when that man speaks to the church. Then you provide the interpretation for the church to hear. But my God, were they declaring the glory and praise of God in the place of prayer? Please check this out. The more than enough of God had to be released in the place of prayer. The release of the Holy Ghost was released in the place of prayer. Jesus said, go and wait. Stay there. Wait. Don't look at your time when it's prayer time. Put the wristwatch aside. If you want the fullness of God, you need to give the fullness of yourself. If you want the revelation of God, you need to put aside every concept and ideology of man and hold on to the author and finisher of your faith. They had to stay in that place praying in one accord. And when the fullness of the Holy Ghost came upon them, they had to let loose and let God. Listen, don't hold back what God is trying to do in your life. Don't hold back the revelation of God. When the Holy Ghost begins to stir up the fire, the words in you, release it like nobody is watching. Amen, somebody. Do you know they didn't even have time for the people, Pastor? It was Peter that had to say, wait, let me address you all. Those guys were still busy in the Holy Ghost. They were still busy in the Lord.
You've got to understand one of the greatest weapons and the treasure we have in the body of Christ is the ability to pray, to commune with our God. And somebody now says 5 minutes is enough, 10 minutes is enough, 30 minutes is enough. You now relegate your prayer time to a minuscule time of your life. I've never seen a man that has a relationship with a woman and says, I only give you 30 minutes a week. They want undivided attention. And many times when we come into the place of prayer, we're so distracted by the affairs of life. He says, put aside every anxiety and just lay your petitions before Him. Focus on God. Church, we're missing the more than enough of God when you're in the place of prayer and God is about to whisper into your ears, my grace is sufficient. God is about to give you the revelation. You are praying and praying, but yet your mind is somewhere else. You are missing the all sufficiency of God. You're missing the more than enough of God. Church, we need to pray. We need to activate, hallelujah, the grace of prayer. God is trying to get your attention. Hallelujah, somebody. I think some people actually are already in the parking lot right now. Praise the Lord, somebody. We need to pray. You've got to change your lifestyle of prayer. You've got to change your attitude of prayer. We've got to teach our children to pray. We need to evaluate our schedules when it comes to prayer. When a man prays, he puts his dependency on God. When a man prays, he says that, listen, God is truly my Jehovah Jireh. If truly He is, then we need to seek His face and not the face of man. We must seek His face and pray. We have to pray. Please tell somebody you've got to pray all the more. Oh, you didn't tell them like you mean. Tell them you got to pray. Your lifestyle of prayer has got to change. We've got to learn to pray to a point where we are discomforted. We've got to learn to pray where you are sweating in the place of prayer. You've got to learn to pray where you pray like nobody is watching and you don't care. You've got to learn to pray where you lock yourself in the room and you throw your cell phone out the door. You've got to learn to pray through the night and travail in the place of prayer. You've got to learn to talk to God that the windows of heaven might be open. You've got to learn to pray until you see it come to manifestation. We need to learn to pray. We need to learn to pray. One of the revelations that God gave to me as I meditated on this principle of asking is that when we pray, we create an opportunity to declare the word of God. Please catch this revelation. I thank God that everyone in the Blessed House Church prays scripture. Do I hear an amen in the house? Amen. We pray scripture. When you pray, you must declare the word of God. Your prayer must embody the word. And the reason for this is because in the declaration of the word, you are sowing seed. As prayer brings about an avenue for you to release power, you're also sowing seeds. God has asked me today to declare to you, to say to you that you must sow the right seeds in life. In Luke chapter 8, verse 4 to 15, the Bible tells us the parable of the sower. In the parable of the sower, you find the sower goes around and it begins to spread forth seeds. And as he sows the seed is not activated until it does what? Hits the ground. Until it hits the ground. Until it hits the ground. And when it hits the right ground, it begins to what? To grow, to grow, to grow, to grow. That is why we must release the word. When you release the word of God, you are sowing seeds. Every time you speak forth and you prophesy the word of God, you are spreading seeds into existence. The question is, where is a seed landing? Some of us have sown seeds in the wrong places and we stop. But if you notice the parable, he never stopped planting seeds. He continued to sow. He continued to sow. He continued to sow. He continued to sow. The word of God must dwell in us richly, and we must profess the word of God. What has dominated your mind? Is it the word of God, or is it the words of the devil? There's a principle I want us to understand today, and that is the principle of having to re-echo the words in our mind. Now, I'm going to tie it up with the principle of sowing and walk with me for a second. A man that declares that he's weak, he's tired, first is the concept or initiated by the devil. The moment that word comes into their ear, they take that word and they say, oh, wow, so this is how things are. Man, I'm tired. I'm weak. They may not have been the one that birthed the word. It may have been a whisper of the devil. But at that moment in time, they become a what? A repeater of that word. And the moment they become a repeater of that word, they begin to sow the word in every area of their life. When somebody looks at them and say, how are you doing today? They say, well, I'm just there. And what the devil said once, they've repeated it multiple times with every single person they've come in contact with. And like the sower, they begin to sow seeds. Remember, in that parable, Jesus said, the seed is the word. So when a person gets that whisper and begins to sow it, you're creating negativity in every area. And when it hits certain spots in your life, it begins to produce what you've sown. That is why for a believer, it is important that you must declare the word of life, declare the word of God. Sow the right seeds into every area of your life, that it may bring forth a harvest. If you caught that revelation, say amen to that. Amen. I need to move on. We've got to speak the right words. We've got to declare the words of God. In our place of prayer, we need to evaluate the people that we pray with. You know, there are times a person that is asking of God gets to a point where he knows, I may not be strong enough as I'm about to go into this place of prayer. So what should you do? Find the friends that can join you in the place of prayer. Find the ones that can hold your hand both to the left and to the right. There's a revelation that is given in Daniel chapter 7, verse 17 to 18. Do you know that in the study of that scripture, Daniel did not have a conversation with his friends before he spoke to the king? He had actually made the commitment to the king. When he said, King, is it the revelation you want to hear? Guess what? We've got an answer for you. So he goes back to meet his friends. Daniel chapter 2, verse 17 to 18. I want you to look at it real quick. Daniel chapter 2, verse 17 to 18. Then Daniel went to his house after he left the king and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companion. Verse 18. that they might seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning the secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Verse 19. Oh, listen. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Can somebody shout a big hallelujah? Hallelujah. When you cannot do it by yourself, get a brother or sister. Listen, I want to say to somebody today, and I believe this is for you, it is time for you to fire some friends in your life that cannot walk with you in the place of prayer. You need to fire them and get rid of them. For a person that cannot stand with you in the place of prayer is an acquaintance. They are not your friend. They're not your friend. They're not your friend. They're not your friend. We must learn to pray. To tap into the more than enough of God, we must tap into the ability to ask of God that we might experience the more than enough of God. They sought the God of heaven that knew the heart of all men. Can you imagine a revelation that he did not tell anybody? And he was able to tell the king word for word what the king dreamt and then give the meaning of it. The more than enough of God. The all sufficiency of God. Listen, one of the things that I found in God, if you read the scriptures carefully, you'll discover that God is able to give skills to man that they've not even learned in a class. That is why tapping into his fullness and learning to commune in the Holy Ghost, that you might learn to hear and receive from him. Prayer is not a one-way street. It's a what? Two-way street. You speak to God and you hear from God. If Daniel had prayed through the night but never learned on how to receive from God, they are in a lot of trouble. But he was able to receive from God. The principle of asking of the Lord. Second, the principle of seeking. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9, the Bible tells us of an interesting story of a man, of a prophet named Elijah, that had made a declaration about how that there, about the fact that there will not be rain and there was famine. In verse 9 of that scripture, God gave him a directive to leave the place he was receiving blessings to go to a place where he will receive the next level of his blessing. I want you to catch this. This is very important. Because you see, when God gave to him provision, it was in the place of communion with God. He was with God when God spoke to him. He was communing with God when God revealed to him where he will get the provision. And he was getting the provision. But at the next stage, he had to go into a land to get the next provision. And I'm going to show you real quick how he had to seek in this scripture. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. Would you read with me? It says, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." Hello, somebody. Did you read the word, "I have commanded a widow to provide for you"? How many of you believe that if somebody told me that if I go to Pastor Virginia, that I've given you $100 for her, when I get to Pastor Virginia, I don't need to tell her much about the $100 I'm going to receive? Do I hear an amen in the house? So when I show up to Pastor Virginia, Pastor Virginia should know to give me my what? Praise the Lord. Let's read on in the story. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gates of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. Can we pause for a second? In just Lake Mary as a small town, how many widows are in Lake Mary? A lot. In Orlando as a whole, how many widows are in Orlando? A lot. In Zarephath, how is it to know the widow? Hello, somebody. You got to walk with me. Amen. So the man of God had received the word of the Lord. I have a widow there for you. All he knows is that is what? A widow. So he gets there. And by the way, I just need somebody to understand this. Widows don't write the label widow on their forehead. Praise the Lord, somebody. Oh, come on. I hope you get this. Amen. There was a season in his life. All he had to do was just sit on the couch and the birds would bring him food. But now God is now telling him, get off the couch and now go look for a widow. There's a season where you stay and you ask and you've experienced God answering your prayer and bringing the provisions to you. God has done the miraculous in your life. He's done it. But I want you to understand that there is a principle of seeking that many believers have missed their divine appointment. Because they've been lackadaisical about the way God brings about things into reality. He had to step out by faith and look for the widow. He was seeking a widow. A specific widow that God had told him will provide for him. A widow with a label on the forehead. And look at the scripture. It goes on. And he arose and went there. And he saw this woman gathering sticks. We call her a widow gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. The next verse, you know where this story is going. You all know the story. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I want to tell you, I don't swear, I don't listen, but I want you to know that by your God as he lives, I do not have bread. Hello, somebody. Do you know it's at this point a lot of believers begin to question, God, where is your face? Brethren, I want you to understand the principle of seeking that Jesus was talking about. That when the word had been spoken to him, when the revelation had been released to him, he had caught the revelation. He had to walk in the revelation to bring to manifestation the spoken word of life. And the lady was saying, excuse me, I don't know what may be going on with you, but hello, I don't have bread. You know, at that point in time, some of us would put the lady on pause and say, listen, hold on, I need to go back on top of the mountain and pray some more. Would you? Some people will actually do like Nehemiah. Oh, Lord, did you really tell me it's a... No problem, lady. I think you're the wrong widow. Are you with me, brethren? At the moment in time when he encountered the lady, it was contrary to the revelation that God had spoken. You see, this is the reason why the people of the world cannot understand the way God works. This is the reason why it made no sense to the people of the world. It baffles the mind of the world. And they say, how can God just put things like, no, listen, to walk with God, it takes what? Faith. He was seeking a widow. He was seeking a woman with a provision. that God had commanded has food for you. And the lady was declaring the opposite. Said, listen, all I have is just a small morsel. And guess what? The morsel is not even enough. By the time me and my son eats this food, we're just waiting for debts to come. Whoa, where is the provision of God? When you talk about the all-sufficiency of God, it's not based on what the circumstances of the world has. The all-sufficiency of God. I need somebody to search deep within their soul, within their mind, and understand the God you're connected with. I want to say to somebody today, the God that answered your prayer in 2019 is the same God answering your prayer in 2020. Somebody shout a big hallelujah. God is still at work. The brooks may have dried up. It doesn't mean the provisions of God have stopped. The ravens may stop coming. It doesn't mean the power of God has ended. And you know the rest of the story. Do you know what actually baffles me in that story? Is that the lady still was walking in amazement. You know, when God said, I have provided. Do you know she was still just dealing with the man as, okay, man of God, the Lord bless you. Even through the miracles of provision. Do you know until the time the lady, and I want you to understand this, please just grasp this. The one moment the lady actually declared that the man, Elijah, is truly a man of God, it was until her son died and came back to life. If you read the rest of the story, the lady was just patching her faith along with the man of God. Listen, God is about to do the miraculous in your life. God is about to do amazing things in your life. Don't be surprised when he pairs you up with somebody weak. Oh, you weren't expecting that, were you? You thought that when God said, I'm going to make a millionaire, he's going to send you out on the street, and all of a sudden you find a guy with a Rolls Royce and a nice limo, say, come in my car, count $1 million and put it in your hand. You got this right on. No. Praise the Lord, somebody. His ways are mysterious. His ways are mysterious. God brought about provision, not just for Elijah, but for that woman. You never know that in God answering your prayer, God is actually orchestrating the complexities of provisions. Oh, did you catch that? The complexities of provision. God, in providing for you, uses you to provide for somebody else. Oh, the all-sufficiency of God. The all-sufficiency of God. And when Elijah stepped into the house of the woman, towards the latter verse of 1 Kings chapter 17, the woman declares that now I know truly you are a man of God. In other words, at that point in time, her faith was fully restored back to where it needs to be. Let's read it together. 1 Kings chapter 17. Because I want you to catch this revelation. And I'm hearing something in my spirit right now. And this is for somebody. Hey, amen, somebody. And let me declare the word. In your provision is the salvation of another man. Oh, come on. In your provision is the salvation of another man. Listen, there is a purpose and a reason why God performs signs, wonders, and miracles. And when he performs miracles, it's so that he might receive all the what? The glory. And that you may testify the glory. That's why we always say when God does something miraculous in your life, do not hold that testimony back. Share the testimony. Because in your declaring of that testimony, people will know that there is really a God. First Kings 17 from verse 23. Elisha took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. Then the woman said to Elijah, now, by this, Now by this, I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth, is the truth. The word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. Amen, somebody. By this, she got restored. Hallelujah, somebody. Seeking. When Jesus was talking about having to seek, he's having to walk by faith. He's having to walk in faith. He's having to get the word and begin to walk it out in your everyday life. To walk by faith. I want to share another revelation real quick. Amen. Are you with me? I hope I've not bored you. Have I bored you? All right. How can you go to a destination without a compass? Praise God. It's important, and this is why it's critical, that he that must seek what God has for him must have the compass of the Holy Ghost in him. And somebody says, Pastor, where's the scripture for that? Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. Let's go back to that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Verse 6 says what? Be anxious for nothing, but what? By and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to who? To God. Look at the next verse, verse number 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will do what? Oh, somebody help me out. Will do what? Will guide. Give directions, order. No wonder the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are what? Are ordered by the Lord. It will guide you. It will guide you. When you're seeking the things of God, after you've committed it in the place of prayer, and you're beginning to walk by faith and declaring the words of revelation, you're planting the seeds by faith. You're professing the word of God. You're planting the seeds of life, and you're rejecting every negative seed of the devil. Every negative whisper, you cancel it out and allow it not to take root in your heart. You begin to walk by faith. You're seeking, looking for that which God has for you. And as you seek it, you will find it. Why? Because he's guiding your heart. That is why, brethren, when we laid the foundation at the beginning, you need to be connected with Jesus. Part of the reason why your life is upside down is because you've done it your way for so many years, and now it's time to do it God's way. No, I'm not talking about one leg in and one leg out. I'm talking about an absolute, complete surrender to God. And say, God, take over. If you have two captains steering a ship, you will get to know destinations really fast. There can only be one captain to order the ship of your life. And that captain has got to be Jesus. Amen, somebody. We must seek the Holy Ghost. We must seek by the Holy Spirit. We must allow God to order our footsteps in him and walk with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Our time is far spent, and I'm going to wrap up very soon. But I pray today you catch this revelation. One of the things the Lord said to me when I was meditating on seeking was, as we seek God, the Lord asks that we even search ourselves and the things that he's placed around us. When God spoke to Moses and they were about to cross the Red Sea, one of his words to him was, "What is in your hand?" Many times, what you're looking for is in your hand. So when you're seeking, start from where God has placed you. Search from within. Search in the Holy Ghost. Talk to God and commune with him. Ask him for directions that he may guide and order your footsteps. Hey, amen, somebody. There's a story of a man that heard about diamonds, mining diamonds. And he thought it would be a good idea to get into the mining of diamonds. And guess what he did? He sold all his belongings, all his properties and everything, and went on a journey to search for what? Diamonds. And at the end of searching and searching and searching, he could not find it. And years later, he was told of the man that bought his land, that the man had stumbled upon a rock and thought the rock was strange and looked very interesting. So he takes the rock home. A friend comes and visits him in the house and tells him, man, you don't know what you're carrying. What is in this house? He looks at it closely and said it was a diamond. He said, where did you find it? He said, I found it on my land. And before you know it, he became a wealthy man overnight because he had bought a land for little to nothing. And the land had every single thing he needed to become wealthy. Listen, there are things that God has placed in you. Don't get rid of it. Don't get rid of it. If God had called you into the business of making masks, man, you'll be a millionaire in this season. Never belittle the things that God has given to you. Before you start searching for something else out there, examine what God has placed in your hand. Like God said to Moses, what is in your hand? I don't know who that is for, but I believe the Lord desired of me to share that with you today. Do I hear an amen? Amen. The last principle is the principle of knocking. The principle of knocking. As I prayed, the Lord showed me that there are people in Scripture that have actually exercised the knocking of doors. To knock on a door is very interesting. It is to demonstrate your faith. It is to walk boldly to a door because you desire the door to be what? Open. The Bible tells us of a woman of God named Hannah. She sowed a seed, and the seed knocked on the doors of heaven and opened for her 7 more children to come. There are things asking may not do, but knocking on the doors will open for you. She was able to knock on the door of heaven by her giving. And the giving opened the windows of heaven upon her. There are many that do not realize that God has a door in heaven. And when you knock on that door, it always opens. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4, when, verse 19, when Paul will pray for the Philippian church and declare the all-sufficiency of God upon their life, it was because they had what? They had sown seeds that released that blessing. And my God shall supply all. Whoa. That is beyond what they had given. What opened that door was the giving. The Bible tells us the story of a woman of God. I call her a woman of God. She's a Shunammite. In 2 Kings chapter 4, from verse 8, she had seen the prophet Elisha walking by. And she now said, Prophet Elisha, come into my house. And she came in, and he came, and he will feed him. He took care of him. And as he took care of him and provided for him, he noticed that he travels a long distance and has no place to rest for the night. And what did he do? What did she do? She called her husband and said, listen, why don't we prepare an upper room for him? You know, thank God for godly men. He didn't say, is he going to pay rent? No, but he agreed. They knew they were doing it unto who? Unto God. They took care of the things of God, of a man of God. And in that moment, in the moment while the man of God was in the house, he called his servant Gehazi and said, listen, what can we do for this woman? And said, look, send her a message. Should I speak to the king on your behalf? The man said, no, I'm already with my people. In other words, I'm okay. I'm well taken care of. And Gehazi said, she does not have a child. And her husband, her husband is what? Old. In other words, they had come to a point where there was no hope any longer. They had given up on the possibility of having a child. And all they were doing was just remain faithful one unto another. Would you open your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 4. If you're there, say amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verse 9. And she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God, who passes by us regularly. Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall. Let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. Let's put a chair. Let's take care of him. And it happened one day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him and he said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us. You have been concerned for us. With all this care, what can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? And she answered, I dwell among my people. In other words, my people got my back. Verse 14. So he said, what then is it to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son and her husband is old. And he said, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Verse 16. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your servant. Verse 17. And the woman conceived and bore a son. And when the appointed time, had come, of which Elisha had foretold, she conceived that baby. She conceived that baby and gave birth at the appointed time. Listen. COVID-19 and the economy may be doing its thing. You need to get busy with God and do your thing. You need to understand that you're on a different wavelength, on a different frequency. Your operation and the modalities of your schedules is not based on the routine of this world. That is why young ones hear these words and hear it clear. You must never compare yourself with the people out there. And as many that are listening to the sound of my voice today, there is a call of God upon your life to come out from among them and be separated unto him, that you may experience the all-sufficiency of God. I want to stand today and declare to somebody that by this time next year, at the next convention, you will come with your own miraculous testimony. By the spoken word that was declared unto the Shunammite woman, whatever has been lacking in your life, that has become a sore spot in your life, that many people had given up hope concerning your home, concerning your family, concerning your academics, you shall testify in the year 2021 in the name of Jesus. The God that does more than enough is here today. Listen, this same God is calling on you today. Would you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior? Don't allow the circumstances at your workplace. You may have been fired. Guess what? There is a working of God in it. You may have lost your business and it got burned to the ground. Listen, in Jesus is the power of resurrection. And that business can be restored and made whole again. Do you know that the times have allowed many to reevaluate on what platform they actually stand on? Many that were relying on their own efforts and their own ideology have had to pack up and put things aside. But guess what? God is calling you. He's not through with you yet. He's saying, would you come unto me, all you that labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Would you come to Jesus today? Church, shall we stand today? We want to stand with you. If you'd like to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to lead you to the Lord right now. I know the Lord has prepared your heart. To accept Jesus into your life is not difficult at all. All you have to do is declare that Jesus Christ, I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. I believe you died on the cross and you resurrected on the third day. Jesus, come into my life. I accept you today. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Can we give a clap offering? You are saved. You are saved. You are saved. You are saved. The principle of asking, seeking, and what? Knocking. Knocking by your giving. Would you walk in him today? Would you walk in him today? Matthew chapter 7, verse 10. Would you put that up on the screen? I want us to declare this. Jesus said, as he finishes that statement, says, or if he ask for fish, will he give him a serpent? The next verse, 11. If you then being evil, know how to do good, give good gift to your children, how much more your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who what? Ask. Lift up your hand right now. Let's begin to talk to God. Would you begin to talk to him? The God that is able to do more than enough. Would you begin to seek him right now in the place of prayer right now? We are praying, everyone in the house, begin to pray, begin to talk to God. Begin to profess right now those things that you're believing God for. The Bible says those that believe in the Lord their God shall do exploits. We call things that are not as though they are. Begin to prophesy right now and begin to declare concerning your life. Jesus said you need to ask. In the name of Jesus, would you lift up your voice and begin to pray right now and begin to talk to God? Begin to talk to him. Begin to talk to him right now. In the name of Jesus. Lim brakosh kata pali vekerianta pala brakosh kente peli karanta pala. Begin to ask of the Lord. Begin to ask of him right now. Begin to ask Him for directions. Begin to ask Him for directives. Begin to ask Him for revelation. At times, it's not about the provision you need to ask for. It's about, Lord, what is the next step I'm to take? Lord, what is the next step I'm to take? Lord, what is the next thing I'm to do? It's not time for you to walk in depression, in sadness, in sorrow. It's time for you to ask God the next step. Lem rako shanta pali ve kirianda bara. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I don't know if you've done this yet, but when you sow a seed, you knock on the doors of heaven. There are many things giving to God will do. And my God is able to supply all your needs according to His riches. With your head bowed right now, I want you to talk to God. This may not be for everybody, but what is God laying on your heart right now that you need to sow to open doors? Hannah gave up one child and became a proud mother of seven children. What is God calling you to sow today? Would you release it? You make that commitment and you fulfill it and experience the manifestation of God in your life. I want to pray with you right now. Heavenly Father God, I just bless your name for as many that has heard this word today. Lord, as we walk before you, I pray God that you continue to order our steps to the glory of your name. And I pray for as many that may be weak, may be tired, receive strength, receive encouragement right now in the name of Jesus. And as we have declared, testimony shall come forth out of everyone's mouth, even in this house, to the glory of God, to the shame of the devil, and to the salvation of many, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody shout, amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah.